Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Torrent Pharmaceuticals Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sudhir Menon. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening and welcome to Q3 FY23 earnings call. Q3 registered revenue growth of 18%, led by strong growth in the branded generic markets and steady performance of the generic markets. Branded generic markets constituted 70% of the total revenue base. The growth in the branded generic markets were primarily driven by new launch momentum, performance of the top brands, and integration of acquired portfolio. In terms of financial performance during the quarter, the revenues were 2,491 crores, up by 18% on YOY basis. Operating EBITDA was 724 crores, with operating EBITDA margins at 29.1%. There is a one-off impact on gross margins by around 0.6% for the quarter due to under absorption of manufacturing cost, as there was a temporary stoppage of manufacturing in the month of October for around 15-20 days for carrying out cleaning validation of certain equipments as a follow-up to the U.S. FDA audit. Today, the board of directors have approved an interim dividend of rupees 14 per share. With this, I would request Aman to give his insights on India business.
Thanks, Sudhir. India revenues at 1,259 crores grew by 17% and included revenues from the integration of Curatio Healthcare. As per the AIOCD data set, Torrent's growth in Q3 was at 12%, in line with the IPM growth of 12%. Our growth was aided by new launch performance, particularly in the chronic segment, performance of our top brands, and strong growth of the Curatio portfolio. At the end of the quarter, Torrent has 19 brands in the top 500 of the IPM, with 13 brands now more than 100 crore sales as of MAT December 2022. Our field force has been further expanded, and MR strength now stands at 5,300. This is inclusive of the Curatio divisions. Our base business MR strength stands at 4,700, which has also been expanded in the current quarter. For YTD December FY23, revenues were 3,728 crores, up by 15%. We expect the India business to continue its growth momentum backed by new launch performance, top brand performance, increase in field force productivity of the expanded field force, and continued performance of the acquired portfolio of Curatio Healthcare. I'll now hand over to Mr. Sanjay Gupta for the international business.
Thanks, Aman. Let's start with our biggest branded generics business outside of India, which is Brazil. Brazil revenue was at 248 crores, up by 36% on a YOY basis. Constant currency revenue was at 159 million, was up by 17%. As per secondary data sets, Torrent's growth is 19% versus a branded generic market growth of 13% for the quarter ended November 2022. On a MAT December 2022 basis, Torrent's growth is at 15% versus a BGX market growth of 12%. Strong contribution to growth has come from our CNS franchise and the generics business, which now contributes about 14% to our Brazilian revenues. We have launched six products in the last 12 months. The two biggest markets are for desvenlafaxine and rivaroxaban, where our market share in prescriptions in the month of December is at 8% for desvenlafaxine and 9% for rivaroxaban. Our plans to increase our coverage of CNS and cardio markets from the current 19% to 35% by 2025 are on track. This year, we have received seven approvals. There are 10 products pending approval with ANVISA, and we would be filing an additional 10+ products before the end of this fiscal year. IQVIA projects a retail market growth of 11% in 2023 and 2024, and we should be growing at a rate higher than this. Moving on to Germany, our German revenues were 241 crores, up by 1% on a YOY basis. Constant currency revenue were at euro 29 million, up by 4%. We have started growing again thanks to the start of business of some new tenders that were won earlier in the year, as well as four new launches in Q3. For the coming year, we anticipate single-digit growth coming from tender wins, some of which have been realized already. In 2022-23, we would have launched more than 10 new products in Germany. The new products help us compensate the pricing pressures due to increased competition in the market. On the US side, US revenues were at 291 crores, were up by 24%. Constant currency revenue was at 35 million, up by 13%. We have received OAI classification for our Indrad facility. For Dahej and the oncology facility, we continue to wait for the US FDA inspection. Future outlook of the US business is linked to our ability to get new products on the market. We expect to file about 5 to 6 products in the current fiscal year. As of December 31, 22, 48 ANDAs were pending approval with the US FDA. To conclude, while the BGX market shall continue to lead the growth, Germany shall continue to witness steady sequential recovery. For the Indrad facility, we are actively engaged with the regulator for resolution of issues at the earliest. Operator, we can now open the call for Q&A, please.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may enter star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. So can you, indicate the growth without Curatio? What is the organic growth for India in this quarter?
The base business growth is 12% and the reported growth that we have is 17%. So the remainder 5% is coming from Curatio.
Okay, thank you. And on the, Indrad facility, is there any communication, that you've received from the FDA? And what's your outlook there in terms of, timeline? And if you can indicate what's the level of contribution from that side to the overall revenues?
So what we have received is a letter stating the status of the facility as OAI. So the agency kind of will take some official action in a time period of 45 to 90 days from the date of the letter, which was day before yesterday. And the official action ranges from a regulatory meeting or a warning letter or something of that sort. So we shall wait for them to decide before communicating further. So, and Indra's revenue contribution is, we haven't disclosed the revenues by plant so far, right?
Correct.
So,
I can come back to you on that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next question from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. First on India, can you split the base India growth into volume, price and new launches contribution? And related question is what I understand, a price increase has been the significant driver for India sales this year. So from this high base of price increase, how should we see growth scenario in coming year?
So the AIOCD growth is 12% for Torrent in Q3. Out of that, volume is 0.2, price is 8.1, and new products is 3.5. So this 8.1 is against 7% of the market price growth. So it's pretty much in line with the market growth, and we think this range will continue. This has been pretty much our MAT range of price increase, and we think next few quarters also this should continue.
Okay, so coming quarters also, 7 to 8% price increase is doable, right?
That's right.
Okay, and on the new launches, can you comment on some of the key launches which has supported this 3.5% contribution? Because I think in the past we have mostly in 2 and 2.5% contribution from new products. So the
new launch contribution is calculated on a trailing 24-month basis. So in this period, we have launched a relatively high number of brands in the chronic segment. Recently, the launch has been of Sitagliptin, as shared last quarter, where we continue to be the number one franchise of the newly launched brands. We should be doing roughly around 4.8 to 5 crores a month based on AIOCD. So this is strengthening our market share in diabetes. Similarly, in CNS, we had launches this time last year in the pregabalin franchise, which continue to do quite well and remain the number one market share. So these are the key 3-4 launches that are adding the incremental new product growth.
Okay, that's helpful. And second is on Curatio integration. So can you talk about the progress like which you have done since integrating the portfolio to your India business? So you mentioned you have a separate team and then you have added on people, etc. So a few more color would be helpful.
So the business is on track. It's been 2.5 months in the quarter that we've got the sales from Curatio. October 14th is when we had integrated. So 2.5 months of sales in Q3. Pretty much continuing the same division, same strength in the business. We have started realizing synergies on the cost front in distribution where there were overlapping cost, let's say, distribution and CFA warehouse setup, which has all been merged, and some back-end functions which were overlapping. So this synergy has started playing out. I think about 3 to 4% margin improvement is already seen in the first quarter. Top-line delivery continues as per the ongoing performance, and we think this should sustain. So I would say better to wait another quarter, at least Q4, once we have the entire quarter under our performance, we can share further insights into the performance of Curatio.
Okay, that's helpful. My second question is on Germany. So you mentioned now the supply has started for the new tender. So this tender is for what period, and do you anticipate any more tenders coming in, say, next 2 or 3 quarters?
So in Germany, how it works is the tender duration is 2 months, and usually you win some tenders and they start 6 months later. So what happens is that the Q3 increase in sales, we flagged a few months ago and saying that we had tenders which would start in Q3. So subsequently, each quarter we win a few tenders, and which is what has led me to tell you that we expect single-digit growth next year.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you. All the best. I'll get back in this week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sumit Gupta from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, good evening. Just want to know on the price revision update on the US market. So what kind of...
Mr. Gupta, sorry to interrupt. If you're on a hands-free mode, can you switch to handset and speak? Your audio is not very clear.
Hello?
Yeah, better.
Okay, thank you, sir. Just want to know on the price erosion update in the US market. So what kind of trajectory that you are seeing?
So year on year, we are seeing high single digit.
Okay. And what is the capacity utilization overall?
Overall, it depends upon the plant. So, Indrad is a multi-country plant, right? Much more than Dahej. So, Indrad capacity utilization is in the high 70s. And for Dahej, we are more in the mid 50, 55, 56% range.
Okay. Understood. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Just again focusing back on the Curatio acquisition, right? You talked about cost synergies, but I remember in our acquisition call, we talked about revenue as well. At some point of time, we look at the top 5 brands, Teddy Bear, Atoglas, Pooh, all of that, and just see where they are priced with respect to market, and if necessary, take price increases. So is that something that it's early to comment about that, or you think we have selectively started doing that as well?
So that's also started. Already one round of price increase, which was already taken before the acquisition, that was to offset the increased raw material cost. That has been affected, and that new stock will be on the market in this quarter. So that should also start reflecting. And otherwise, I mean, revenue, the Curatio revenue growth was about 20% for the quarter of the Curatio standalone. So the growth is pretty much on track.
Sir, but I thought, we were expecting to go faster relative to the segment, right? Or maybe it's too early days for the 2.5 months. You think for this 20% growth, I was under the impression that, you know, the segment is growing even maybe 20 and Curatio is probably growing faster.
No, I think the segment that we specifically are covering, which is the prescription-based Pediaderma, this is significantly faster than that. But either case, next quarter should give a better picture. I think this mid to high teens growth is something that we feel is sustainable for this portfolio, and rest will be the levers that we mentioned earlier, which should start playing out probably by end of the next financial year.
Got it. Very helpful. Just on the, so we're on the financial side, so what is the kind of debt position now after the deal? And if you could just reiterate some of the cash flow numbers that we are generating and how we plan to kind of reduce debt over time.
Yeah. So, Shyam, I think by 31st March 2023, the net debt position should be around 4,300. And as per the repayment schedule, next year we should be repaying roughly 1,200. And probably in FY25, a major chunk of the cash flow will get allocated towards the prepayments of all these loans.
Got it. So, and yeah, largely, so there is no, so largely from internal accruals, right? So essentially we are going to divert. What about CapEx? Sorry, I think that's the other question I had.
Okay.
So 1,200 crores you're going to repay, and what is the rest of the operating cash flows going towards?
Right. So roughly you can say the EBITDA should be close to around 3,000, let's say,
mm-hmm.
of which the conversion to operating cash flow should be 80%, which is 2,400.
Mm-hmm.
And CapEx over the next 3 years on an average should not be more than 250, max 300, I would say, per annum.
Got it. Got it. Thank you. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Just trying to understand gross margin better. So, 3Q, gross margins are a little down versus 2Q, while our higher gross margin business, India and Brazil, have done fairly well. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so Prakash, I don't know if you heard the opening speech where I had explained.
Oh, we were on the other. Sorry. You on the other call. Sorry about that.
So what I said is there's a one-time impact of gross margin by 0.6% for the quarter, and which is primarily because of under absorption of the manufacturing overheads in the month of October, wherein immediately after the US FDA audit, which ended on 28th of September, there had to be some cleaning validation of certain equipments which had to be done as a follow-up to the US FDA audit. Because of that, there has been an under-absorption of overhead, which has impacted the gross margin by 0.6%.
Yeah, any other reason? I mean, because Brazil also done fairly well, which is a higher gross margin business.
No other reason, Prakash. This is the only one-time impact which we have seen.
And what do you attribute this Indrad facility? You know, the 483s have come again, and now the OAI, it had warning letter status earlier. So, and we've seen other facilities where other companies also seeing, you know, observations coming back. So, I mean, it's been 3-4 years now. So, what's really, you know, that as a company or as an industry, we are missing here?
Oh, you're right. I mean, so as far as this recent OAI is concerned, we are still working on it, right? I mean, trying to get in touch with the US FDA to understand better. So it would take a couple of weeks, I would say, for us to get a better hang of what would be the next thing which we should be looking at. So maybe post 1 to 2 weeks, we'll have a better clarity to give you some feedback on that.
Okay, and one more for you on the interest cost side. So you mentioned 3,000 crore EBITDA with 80% conversion. So, you know, the debt repayment should be much higher than the 1,200 crore you talked about, or how do you think it, you know, that's a conservative number or it's a realistic number?
No, so it's a scheduled repayment which is there for the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. I mean, if there's additional cash which is there on the balance sheet, it will be used for prepayment of the loans to the extent whatever is possible. But I was saying, worst, even if I take a scheduled repayment which is happening next year of 1,200 crores, that should end most of my previous acquisition funding. And therefore, FY25, whatever cash flows are getting generated, considering the growth over the next 2 years, most of that can be allocated for prepayment of Curatio loan.
Okay, lovely. And lastly, for the, you know, if you can also give some color on the market formation of Sacubitril Valsartan. Understand not many players have come in, or it's too crowded as was seen in other diabetes products like, you know, Vilda, Sita, etc. Or is still, it's still market is getting formed?
The market is still getting formed. I think the matter is still sub judice, so would want to wait till this, there's further clarity.
Okay, and you expect that in next 3-6 months, Aman?
Should be, hopefully within this next 6 months.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. On the ROW market, there's been a pretty strong growth in this quarter, 290 crore number versus the 240-50 crores we've been doing. Any particular driver for this growth in the quarter?
I don't think, Nitin. It's been quite a good quarter, I would say. There are one or two geographies where there were some incremental opportunities which were seen, which we were able to take it. That's the reason for ROW, the growth is a little higher. But otherwise, even a country like Mexico is doing fine, I would say, growing double digit for almost last 4 to 5 quarters, high double digit. So yes, I mean, to a certain extent, there was some incremental opportunity which had come in quarter three in Russia, basically, which has helped in getting such a strong growth.
But this shouldn't be, we should not take this as a base to model going forward numbers on this.
No, but Russia is a very small market for us, Nitin. So,
okay.
Although there's, yes, I mean, possibly 1 or 2% contribution to the overall incremental growth, but not major, I would say.
So this 290, can we take it as the point I was asking is, should, can we take this 290 as a base for this business from a modeling perspective?
Because Nitin, it's a little difficult for me to give any guidance on that. Maybe two quarters or three quarters, if that number is sustaining, then possibly I can confirm that. But I think it's better to wait for one more quarter to see whether this number is sustaining.
Okay.
But nothing as of now which can indicate that this can go up or down.
Secondly, on the Curatio costs, on SG&A and in staff costs, we've built in only one and a half months of these costs, right? So some more costs we should pencil in for the next quarter?
No, it's almost 2.5 months which has been factored.
Okay.
So not major, even if you take a full quarter, I would say.
Okay, so that's at least on the overhead front, we largely now, everything, all the costs are baked into the base.
I would think so.
And lastly, on Brazil, so you mentioned that, you know, the market growth is now guided to be about 10% for the next couple of years. Was it correct?
Yeah. So IMS projects generally next 5 years, 8 to 12% growth. Next 2 years is projected at 11%.
Okay. And given the fact that we are in the process of launching multiple new products, we should be in a position to comfortably outpace the market.
Correct. So we have three growth drivers. Essentially, last 1 year, we've increased the number of CNS reps. So that has given a good momentum to our CNS franchise. We are, generics business is doing very well. And then thirdly, the new launches.
And what proportion of the business will be generic right now in the U.S.? In Brazil?
14.
Sorry, 14%.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We'll take our next question from the line of Neha Manpuria from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. Sanjay, on the Brazil business, we saw, you know, a good step up in this quarter. I heard the commentary that you mentioned, but it's fair to assume that there is, you know, this number is sustainable, and as we launch more products, we should continue to see growth from this base.
So, Neha, the previous two quarters, local currency growth had been 8%. And essentially, that growth was on the lower side, but IMS was showing this mid-teens growth, which is the underlying growth of the business. Q1 is, in Brazil generally gets impacted because of Q4. You know, there's overstocking from the wholesalers. So Q4 of last year was showing a growth of 21%. So Q1 is a little bit impacted number. Q2, we had some shelf stock adjustments because of which primary sales were on the lower side, but the IMS sales continued in mid-teens. So I would say that double-digit, you know, north of 10% is a given the market growth, and we should be reasonably higher. So I would tell you that it looks like this is the trend.
Understood. And did I hear correctly that you are planning to file 10 more products by the end of FY23?
We would file a total of 10 plus products in this fiscal year.
Oh, okay. So the 10 pending, which includes part of the filings, right?
No, the 10 pending are as of today.
Okay, understood. So by the end, we'll have probably 20 products pending for approval.
Yeah, I would say at least 16 to 17 products, maybe 20.
Okay, and by when should we start seeing commercialization? Do you think, what's the approval timeline now like in Brazil? Has it improved?
Yeah. It's usually now 24 months, and what you would see is it's quite heavy to launch branded generics. So I think what you would see generally is 4 to 6 products a year.
Okay, understood. Okay, fair enough. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to our participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may enter star and one. We'll take the next question from the line of Krishnendu Saha from Quantum Mutual Fund. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for my question. Just understanding the 24% growth in the U.S. is mostly from the third-party filings, is it?
No. This growth is because of a base impact. So if you go back to the same period last year, the sales were on the lower side, 31 million. So, and while generally for the last, I would say 6-7 quarters, our sales have been 35 million. So that particular dip in the same period last year is what results in the percentage growth this year.
I see. And so, let's say, how many products do we have in the market actually?
So,
in where?
So we sell about 55 products.
55.
Mr. Saha, I'm sorry to interrupt, but your audio is not very clear. Could you repeat your question?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Please.
Yeah. How many products do you have in Brazil itself?
So Brazil, we have about 22 products. Sir, did you get my answer? It's about 22.
Mr. Saha, are you still there?
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah,
so I answered your question. We have about 22 products.
Yeah, I got that. Thank you.
Thank you.
On the acquisition front, how much of our revenue will be on the OTC front in India right now?
So right now would be a small percentage because...
With the acquisition also?
With the acquisition, that's right, yeah.
Any percentage you give us?
We'll be able to share better next quarter because there's only 2.5 months. But the idea is to focus on the RX piece first and then ramp up the OTC for the acquisition as well.
Thank you.
Any participant who wishes to ask a question may enter star and one. We would also request participants to please use handset mode to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Cinderella Carvalho from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted to know your thoughts on U.S. market because of Indrad now. How do you see, what is your thought process and in terms of getting the new launches to the market? What is the plan going ahead? Any changes that you intend to make? Any third-party sourcing? Any other thoughts that you can help us understand?
Sure. So, so this OAI... It is a setback for the organization. We would have greater visibility 45 to 90 days down the line, right? As the range of options before the FDA is quite wide. There can be, so depending upon the decision they make, we are kind of building up various scenarios as to what is the best way forward. I would say that it looks challenging to bring new products to the US market in the near term, especially because of what happened to Indrad, but also that we have not yet had the inspectors come over to Dahej. So we are waiting for that inspection to happen. As of today, I'm sitting on 55 filings for the US, out of which, you know, I think 19 are from Indrad and 16 are from Dahej. So there's a lot of filings from these two facilities. And if, as the, with the passage of time, the value of these filings gets depreciated, so we'll have to kind of decide how we want to proceed. But I won't be able to share that with you today. But it's sufficient to say that we are in the scenario building phase, depending on how the FDA outcome goes.
Yeah, and I think, Sridhar, the only thing I wanted to add to what Sanjay said, so Dahej, we have enough capacities. It's quite underutilized. And if things go positive as far as Dahej reinspection is concerned, many of the products which are there in Indrad can really ship to Dahej without any issue, because the filings for getting approval for all these products have already been done, or it's just waiting for submission, and which would take a very short time to get an approval. And additionally, we are also looking at some of the CMO options for certain high volume products, which we initiated to optimize the overall cost and be more competitive. So there are options which we are looking at least for the existing product base. But as Sanjay said, you know, the new product filing which have been done from Indrad, that's something which we need to understand whether something can be salvaged out of that plant.
This is very helpful. Thank you so much for that. And one more question is on the Indian derma space. You mentioned that the RX market you will be focusing first. So what is, if any, thoughts that you can share in terms of strategy that you're going in for the derma, specifically for the Curosho acquisition? If you could highlight our strengths, what are we trying to build up, will be helpful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so we had mentioned in the last call that Curatio has a strong presence in pediatric derma, and they also have a very strong presence in the south and west markets. There is a lot more opportunity in the north and east markets, but those markets are just smaller in size compared to the south and west. But there is still quite a big headroom for increasing the share in these regions as well. So overall, while the existing markets will continue to grow, we can add a reasonable share from these non-covered markets, which we'll be taking up probably in the next couple of quarters. All the brands, the top five brands are continuing to do quite well as of now, and we believe that the top three brands, whether it's Teddy Bar or Togla, they continue to see more and more market share gain even in the RX space. So hopefully that should continue in the same range of growth for the next couple of quarters, and the additional initiative should add to the incremental growth.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Tushar Marudhane from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
So just on this inspection at Indrad, so what triggered this inspection, and basically will that also help in getting the other sites inspected?
So one site is not linked to the other, and this inspection is actually a follow-up on the inspection which happened in March of 2019. So it is a second inspection post observations which were made in 2019.
Okay, so basically we still kind of wait for the other sites to get inspected.
Yeah. That's independent of this site.
And clearly the issue which maybe USFD highlighted at this site is kind of taken care of at the other side, so that if at all the inspection happens, this doesn't recur.
Absolutely. And even the observations this time at Indrad are not the same as the ones from last time, right? They are not repeat observations.
Okay. And how much of the gross block, so to say, is associated for the US business? I understand that it's a multi-purpose or multi-geography site, but broadly, how much of the gross block can be called out for US business?
At Indrad plant?
Combining Indrad, Dahej, both?
I think around 45 to 50%.
Okay. dedicated for US.
Correct.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kumar Soumya from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good evening, sir. I had just one bookkeeping question. What was the forex loss during the quarter?
So forex loss during the quarter was roughly 40 crores.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Ashwini. Just one more housekeeping question. On depreciation and interest costs also now largely factored in the transaction for me?
So amortization cost for 2.5 months, yes. Interest cost for 2.5 months, yes.
Okay. And, you know, in terms of cost optimization measures, are there anything that you can look forward to from a various cost set perspective next year?
Oh, no, absolutely, right? I mean, what we said is, so we've applied for this merger scheme, right, between Curatio and TPL, and once the merger is happening, maybe 2 or 3 or 4 months down the line, then the synergy value will start coming in.
And additionally, procurement synergies also are likely in the next financial year. So procurement synergy plus as the PCPM increases from this base should be further levers for margin expansion for the next at least 2 to 3 years.
I mean, if this is from a Curatio perspective, I was also interested in X of Curatio. I mean, are there levers in the business to improve, you know, the core business, the X of Curatio of profitability? Are there any levers that you're working on?
So, Nitin, if I tell you anything, wouldn't be a scientific calculated number. But what I can tell you is that it's a continuous process in trying to find out whatever cost efficiency is possible. So that happens in a very continuous way, I would say. But the only thing I recollect now is that the freight expenses, which had gone up substantially since quarter three of last year, that's still to normalize, I would say, by 0.5, 0.6%. So that's one lever definitely going forward, because the increase in freight expenses, which had happened in quarter three of last year, at least what we see is last 1 or 2 quarters started falling, actually. But there's still some amount of recovery which is pending, which should happen probably over the next 2 to 3 quarters. So that's something which could be certain. But otherwise, on an overall basis, we keep on working on whatever cost efficiency is possible.
Thank you, Sudhir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Sudhir, on just a follow-up, following up on the, you know, the cost pressures. So on the raw material side, any trend you are seeing, you know, with China reopening, any color or any trend you want to highlight?
No, Sain, I mean, the input cost increases, it was not a significant impact as far as we were concerned. So nothing much to talk about. From that perspective, if I recollect, you know, when the cost had started moving up, we said that the impact could be roughly 0.5-0.7%, but nothing significant, I would say.
Okay. And just one more question. You you know, mentioned about one-off cost this quarter, 0.6%. That's around 150 crore. So I'm just wanting to understand how would you ascribe this? You mean there are lower revenues because of the shutdown to that extent?
No, no. So 0.6 is roughly, Sayan, I think 12 to 15 crores, not 1.
Okay.
So.
I'm sorry, yeah. 12 to 15 crores.
Yeah. So, Sayan, I mean, just to put it in a very simple way, whatever direct cost you incur, right, for manufacturing, has to be balanced with a revenue, right? So there has to be a cost revenue matching. And how does that happen? So you have to inventorize all this cost on your manufacturing, right? So there's a balancing in by way of inventory, or when it is sold, it is balanced by way of sales, right? So what happens is you determine on an annual basis the per unit cost for each product. So what typically happens is when you manufacture, let's say, only 50% instead of 100%, the cost absorption is only 50%. on the inventory, right? So the rest 50% is not getting absorbed. So that's a one-time cost which comes and sits in your P&L.
Right.
So that's what has happened in October, basically after the USFD audit was completed on 20th of September. There was a shutdown which was taken for almost 15 to 20 days in the month of October for doing all those cleaning validation of equipments and stuff.
Okay. Understood. And just one last question, if I can, on the U.S. Assuming, you know, we have a delayed resolution and no, I mean, in both in Indrad and the H, how should we think about U.S. revenues given the price erosion and new launch from other facilities? If you can, you know, give some color around expectations in the U.S. market.
So I think it's too early, Sayan. So I think one is the price erosion year on year, which Sanjay spoke, right? I mean, high single digit. That's something we believe should be the worst case as far as base business is concerned, okay?
Mm-hmm.
From a new product perspective, at least from Dahej and Indrad, those things cannot come in until, at least for Dahej, if the re-inspection is happening and getting clear, then possibly yes. But till that point in time, there's no visibility of the new product coming in. There are few external products which will come, maybe a couple of them over the next 2 years, but not significant revenue contributor is what I can say. So at the most, I would say U.S. would be flattish to declining sales over the next 1 year.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prashant Kothari from Thick Depth. Please go ahead.
Yeah. My first question was on the India tonic kind of market opportunity. One of the thesis is that during COVID times, the diagnosis of patients in a few years, and that should have picked up in the last 1 year, enabling more patients for us. So you think that happening? Do you think that can become a stronger
one
in the coming years?
Yeah, I mean, compared to last couple of quarters, we are seeing an increase in the chronic growth trend. So I think on a mat basis, the chronic market grew at about 8-9%, which in the quarter is 11%. So sequentially, you can see that it's increasing. So we do believe that it may stabilize at this 11-12% level, but it does provide a significant volume opportunity for a player like us who's already got this much contribution from the chronic business.
Okay, thanks. And on the US OAI thing, you mentioned that you can shift products from Indrad to the Dahej. Was that comment in regard to the existing product market, or was it for the new product launches?
For the existing, for sure, subject to Dahej getting cleared, is what I said.
Yeah.
Sanjay, for the new products which have been filed from Indrad, a parallel filing can happen for the same product from Dahej.
So for the filings which have been made, let's say a few years ago, I don't think we will make the investment to shift them. But for forthcoming filings, yes.
Okay. But for kind of existing large products coming out of India, you can shift them all to Dahej in case Dahej gets cleared.
Correct.
Understood. All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead. Prakash, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, apologies. So a couple of clarifications. So one, you mentioned on Germany, you already started to see Q&Q with the, you know, the corrective action and the new tenders, etc., that you won. But how do we see the fiscal 24? I mean, do we see a mid-teen kind of growth given the low base and then normalize to high single digit? How do we see this business for the next 2 years?
So, Prakash, what I have is visibility on the basis of the tenders which we have won. And, you know, we have a strategy in place to win more tenders every quarter, right? So what I indicated is as of today for next year, mid single digit is something that I have visibility to. If I win additional tenders, it could be high single digit to close to double digit. But that is right now not in the bag.
Okay. Okay. What's in the bag is mid single digit.
Correct.
Despite the low base.
The base is 29 million euros a quarter.
Okay.
Which is, okay. I think, almost close because I think at some point we've crossed 31, but not more.
Okay, fair enough. And secondly, I think Sudhir mentioned giving example of 3,000 crore EBITDA. I mean, if I see consensus, my numbers, etc., is, 10-12% higher. So it's a rough number you're guiding or it is a
guide for EBITDA? Yeah. Approximately 3,000, I said. If that is the number, then this is the way to look at, is what I was trying to.
Okay. But if I look very broadly next year, so India, Brazil and the other ROW market, 70% of your branded generic, business is good to grow 10, 12, 13%. Is that fair assumption to build models?
I would think so.
And on the margin side, you see levers for, margin expansion given profitability of Curatio will increase plus costs are coming down. Would that be fair?
I would think so, Prakash. I mean, what we have been saying is because of this branded generic pieces, there are one or two levers which keep on coming every year, provided other things remain constant, right? So one is the price increase driven gross margin improvements, and the other is the operating leverage, which should continue, I believe.
Okay.
Plus the Curatio upside on the margins, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. And lastly, for Aman, so for next year, if we see India, last year you mentioned about, the CNS launch, one in diabetes, one in cardio. So how is the pipe looking in terms of decent size brands which you plan to launch, which gives us confidence of 12-13% growth?
The upcoming financial year won't have as many launches as the previous year in terms of number. There are a few significant opportunities in diabetes which will still be there, but numbers will definitely be lower. Instead, the focus will be on increasing the traction and size of the recently launched brand. So there is still enough headroom for us to continue the new launch momentum in the next year from the existing launches.
You mean the line extensions, etc., from the...
No, even the recently off-patent launches that have been done. So the new launches take time to gain reasonable scale. For example, we've done 5 crores now of sitagliptin in about 6 months, 5 crores monthly. We would hope that maybe by the end of next year we cross 100 crores overall, and that should continue growing at a high rate. So that contribution should continue to increase from the new launches. The new year, for next financial year, will not have as many number of launches. So that new contribution will probably be lower than the previous year.
Okay. So I'm just trying to dissect it here. So 12%, so we would again see about, say, 8% price and about 3% kind of new product and maybe 1-2% volume.
Yes, that should be doable in the next year.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Krishnendu Saha from Quantum Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a follow-up on the last question I asked. If I do remember correctly, a couple of years back, we had 36-odd or 40-odd products in Brazil. So right now we're 22. I'm just wondering that. And this is the fact that we'll be having some supply or procurement benefits for acquisition. But I believe that we also had a 3-year manufacturing contract with them, if I'm right. So could you just elaborate on these two, please?
So on the first part, we have more approvals, but we focus on 22 products, which are in our lead build brand category. So essentially the idea is to follow the model, which has worked well for us in India, which is to build large brands and invest behind those that have the potential to grow. And we have taken a series of brands into a kind of a automatic mode where we don't promote them, and we kind of let them just continue on the base that they have, because it's not worth putting money and resources behind them. So I would say 22 brands are actively promoted and invested behind in Brazil.
The focus products then.
Yeah. Lead build products, as we call them inside the company.
And,
the rest are more in the maintain or, I would say, category. And then your second question was what?
We had a sourcing agreement for acquisition in India. So we spoke about the fact that we'll be having some sourcing benefits next year. How do we see that playing through if we have a sourcing agreement for 3 years with us?
That would not be for all products. So for the full portfolio, there is still enough headroom for finding alternate suppliers and getting better pricing.
And just the last question, the EBITDA margin is far better than our overall company. That's what I realized last time on the call. Is it? I mean, not far, but it is better than the overall Torrent Pharma.
Yeah, so what we said is it's not dilutive to the overall margins of Torrent Pharma, which would mean that Curatio has similar margins. That was the thing that was spoken last time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kunal Randeria from Nuvama. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Just one question. Any visibility can you can give us on Revlimid launch timelines?
Also, we are not in the initial phases, so for us, it's a little bit of a distant launch. So, yeah, it's not in the next 12 months.
Got it. And should I assume that it's nothing to do with plant issues?
No, it's not made at Torrent. It's made at a third party.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now request Mr. Sanjay Gupta to add a few closing comments. Over to you, sir.
So I would just like to thank you for your interest in Torrent and for joining today's call. For any additional questions, feel free to call our investor relations group. Thank you very much and look forward to hearing from you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, members of the management. On behalf of Torrent Pharmaceuticals, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.